We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
If you would take your Bibles as you find your seat and join me in Luke chapter 22 is where we'll be at this morning, Luke chapter 22. Each Sunday over these last several weeks, if you've missed any of them, we have been expounding upon and unpacking in great detail different aspects of the gift of Christmas. And it has been a gift to be able to hear different vantage points and different explanations behind why this time of year is so significant. And today, we are not only invited to be able to come back to the stable once again, as we have been these last several weeks, but we're invited to come to a table where we realize that after Jesus Christ was born, 33 years later, as I prayed just a moment ago, he came and he died on a cross so that we could have a way to the Father. And we get a chance to celebrate that here today. As we began the series on December 1, our emphasis was on showing Christmas, in that God showed us that he loved us by sending us his son. John 3:16, that great passage of scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And we got to see that. We were able to see that reality play out for us. So we looked next at singing Christmas, Mary's song, the Magnificat, and many were just, we were just blown away to be able to see that psalm just unpacked and looked at and examined to see why Christmas is so special through the eyes of Mary. And then all month long, we've been sharing Christmas where we've been giving things away, and what a joy it was to be able to unpack all the many ways that our church has been so generous, right, over these last several months or several weeks. Throughout the month, it's been wonderful to see. And then we unpacked seeing Christmas on Christmas Eve as we saw Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And we were able to see that. And today, we have a challenge before us to savor Christmas and to remember it. And today, we've been talking about a stable, but we journey from a stable to the table as we get to celebrate and rejoice in all that God has done. He didn't just come as a baby and it was cute and it was nice. He came to die for the sins of humanity. What is it that we can savor about the gift of Christmas? Well, we can savor that the ultimate gift of Christmas was that the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, became the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, so that we, the sons and daughters of men, so that we could be heirs to God the Father. What an amazing thought that we are able, the ultimate gift of Christmas is that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. What a thought, right? Just unthinkable that we now, because of God's grace, because of him coming, we now have the ability to sit at God's table. Many of us sat around a table at Christmas time and were able to celebrate with family. You get to be around the table of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it doesn't get any better than that. You are heirs to God's grace, and we are when we know Christ as our Savior. Jesus said we're supposed to remember this gift. It's supposed to be something that resonates with us. We're supposed to recall this moment and rejoice in the provision that's made. And so I want you to look at Luke 22. We're going to read just two passages or two verses here and unpack what I know for many is a very familiar passage of Scripture as he really unpacks for us this first communion, this first Lord's Supper. Verse 19 says, and he, Jesus, took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We are today, on this last Sunday of the year, about to celebrate a memorial meal. We're going to come before the Lord's table, a meal given to us by Jesus Christ that he says is to be used to remember him. This do in remembrance of me. What is it exactly that we are supposed to be remembering? What is it that we exactly, as we come to the table, and as Pastor already alluded to, the Christmas hangover or whatever it is, we kind of come between this time of year that's often kind of an odd time, we can come and just go through the motions. And I pray that wouldn't be your reality today, that it wouldn't just be going through the motions and just doing the same old, but that it would be something special today as we come in awe and worship, as we remember just two main points this morning, the passion of Jesus. As you understand and unpack for that, the passion of Jesus. You know, by partaking in the Lord's Supper this morning, we are rejoicing that Jesus has come. We're rejoicing that he has died for our sins. He's risen from the dead. The death of the sting of death has been done away with. The penalty of hell has been averted. We have heaven as our home. Eternal life has been given. And all of this was made possible by Jesus. All of this made possible by him. And so we remember his passion as it poured out before us. This is the meaning of the Lord's Supper, and this is what he says, I want you to remember. Don't forget. I want you to think about this. He could have chosen any way, anything for us to remember and for us to take time to be able to remember his sacrifice, remember what he's done. He could have chosen anything, but God gave us two things for us to remember his passion, two different things that we're going to partake of today, two different simple things so that we could remember his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. So I want you to look, first of all, the bread, as we see in verse number 19, represents his broken body. He declares this of his broken body right there in verse number 19. Not a broken bone, but a broken body. His body broken for us. His body broken for me and for you. This is what sin does to the body. Sin breaks, sin destroys. His body was perfect. He had done no wrong. He had done no sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is to die. And it's the reason our bodies grow old and die is because of sin. And sin comes upon all of us in here, everyone under the sound of my voice, including myself, we're broken people. We're broken, and any honest person could look themselves in the mirror and realize, yeah, I'm pretty jacked up, I've got some problems, really, really got some issues, I got some problems, I need some things, and we all fall short, the scripture says, of the glory of God. We don't attain unto him. His body was broken, but it didn't have to be. He chose for it to be. Scripture reveals that his body was so broken that Jesus himself didn't even look like he was a human being on the cross. Isaiah said of him, his visage was so marred more than any other man, and his form more than the sons of men. The literal rendering of this is terrible, a commentator said. He was so disfigured from the brutality of man more than any other man that had ever been marred. So that Jesus Christ did not even look like a son of men. He did not even look like a human. He was so disfigured and his body broken apart for me and for you. The bread represents his broken body. The juice represents his shed blood, we see in verse number 20. Picture Jesus. I don't know if you do this. I do this each communion. I've done it since I was a boy. Maybe you do. I picture as those elements come and I get a chance to be able to look at that juice and look at that bread. And as much as I can try to wrap my head around what it is that Jesus went through, I try to visualize him on that cross. Have you ever done that? Visualize him being beaten. Visualize the stripes as they hit his back. As he carried that cross down the Via Dolorosa, about to fall over, eventually does fall over, crown of thorns being thrust upon his head, being stripped naked and thrown up on a cross, humiliated. See his side that was pierced. Blood pouring off of him. We all know what it's like to work in the yard, be at the gym, be at our job, be somewhere, and it's just pouring sweat, like just everywhere pouring off of you. This is Jesus, he's on the cross, but it's blood pouring out of him. Jesus says, remember, We just sang the song, "Where Your Love Ran Red and My Sin Washed White." What a lyric. Where your blood just ran is what was necessary for my sins to be absolved, and your sins to be absolved. You see, in God's economy, sin has to be paid for. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus had to die. And as we come to the table, we don't come as a religious exercise. We don't come out of some form of orthodoxy just to come and do our thing and turn into super Christian when we leave because we swallowed a pill like we're Popeye, right? Got our spin. That's not what this is, right? This isn't how this is supposed to be. This isn't something that we do as a trite thing. We remember his broken body and his shed blood, but it wasn't just anyone's broken body. It wasn't just anyone's shed blood. It was the Son of God. So I want you to notice not only the passion of Jesus, but the person of Jesus. You know, the reason we come to the table is to remember him. Remember what he has done. The Lord's Supper was instituted so that we could remember and we could recollect who he is and what he has done. What does this look like? Well, we're supposed to remember who he is, what it is that he has done. We must remember who he is based off of the principles of God's word, right? And not out of some type of something, some type of tradition or out of things that we've heard. You know, we get in trouble when we base how we feel or what we believe on something based off of what we've heard or what if it's not out of God's word. There's a great passage in John 4 that we've talked about many times that this woman, Jesus comes to this woman and she thinks she knows who Jesus is. Like, oh yeah, our father's worshiping this mountain. Oh yeah, we know all about him. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. Right? You have no idea what it is that you're speaking of because you don't realize you haven't based all your knowledge off of the Son of God, off of truth. It's been off of tradition. And that's one of the biggest things for people like me, people like you, maybe that grew up in church. You just end up hearing things and you hear something, and it's like the telephone game, right? You've heard something. Have you ever done that? And then what gets back is like, God's like, I didn't say that. That's not what happened. But we just hear something and hear something. We go straight to God's word to find out what God says about himself. And that is what we worship and that is what we adore. And we come before him today and we are able to remember who he was. Really quickly, three things Jesus says of himself, that he is the Son of God. This is who he is. And that's a phenomenal claim, right? Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, and said, I am the Son of God. If somebody came in here and said they were a son of God, what would you say? Well, we'd kick them out, right? We would, listen, that's a phenomenal claim. But for us to just kind of say, oh, that's just kind of, I understand it, you know, that's just what God's word says. But understand the significance and the specialness of this. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He's equal with the Father and part of the eternal Godhead. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Son of God. He's not only that, Jesus is the creator of all things. One of my favorite books of the Bible and favorite passages of the Bible in Colossians says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, the scripture says, were created by him and for him. Everything. Jesus, not only the Son of Man, not only the creator of all things, Jesus alone reveals the Father's will. You say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not so sure about Jesus. Well, my friend, it's all about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. It's always him from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Where you fall on Jesus matters about everything. Everything hinges upon that. It's always about him. Attaining the realm of heaven is not possible without Jesus. The scripture says there is one mediator between God and man. Guess who he is? You guessed it. The man Christ Jesus. Because it's always about Jesus. It's always about him. And Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Remember what's going to happen. Remember, we must not only remember who Jesus is, but we must remember what he has done. Jesus has provided salvation, a way to the Father. And I think about this often, and I've shared this with you before, that it's so baffling to me that people are like, well, that's pretty exclusive to think that, man, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. I just think there should be other ways. Instead of saying, wow, I can't believe there's a way. I can't believe there even is a way. What a wonderful thing that I have a way to the Father, a way to heaven, a way to experience eternal life, a way to have the splendors of heaven. I mean, we're going to fuss about the fact that we don't deserve that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The greatest gift you could ever receive is not found in this life. It wasn't found under a Christmas tree. It's found in Jesus. It's always about Jesus. This is why we remember what he's done. This is why we cherish the gift of salvation. It's why we come to an occasion such as this and we can worship and we can celebrate and we can thank God that Jesus saves. This is why Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he who had many of had so much pedigree he could talk about and so much knowledge and so much intellectual, but he said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else except the cross. God forbid that I should talk about how great and awesome I am. There should be a remembrance of our part of what Jesus has done. You know, you ought not to believe your own hype. You're not as good as you think you are. You're not as smart as you think you are. You didn't get where you were get because you're so smart, because you did this, because somebody gave you this, and I earned that, and by the sweat of my back, this is what I did, and I worked hard, and I got this, and I got that. You know, I love what the scripture says. He said, what have you obtained that you have not been given? Nothing. God forbid that we should glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I have to attain. He's the one that's great. He's the one that is worthy of worship, not you, not me. And we come before the table. One of those lyrics was talking about it. We come humbly. I come before you today, humble. And it's so important for us to put our attention on Jesus Christ. You see, whatever you don't turn to praise turns into pride. Thank God that you were able to open a present. Thank God that you were able to go to drink. Thank God you had a house to live in. Thank God that you had a vehicle to get here. Thank God. Listen, you didn't earn any of that. God gave it to you, and you're supposed to be a good steward of it. And we come before this table saying, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve any praise. You deserve the praise. You deserve everything. So we come today on the last service of 2019 to remember. And how are we to remember? Two simple mementos, two very simple things. I wear two rings on my hand, one on my left and one on my right. It's not a fashion statement. I don't wear them to impress anyone. Truth be told, I don't even dress myself. I don't even, my wife, shop, she was buying stuff for me yesterday. If you ever see me wearing anything, you're like, what was he thinking? It was probably because I picked it out. And I thought I could pull it off. And you're like, what is that? And you're like, I tried and it didn't work. Anyway, I wear two rings. One of them is from my wife. It's silver and gold. And the reason it's silver and gold, I was told, is so that I can wear a silver watch or a gold watch. Apparently that's important. This isn't even the original one. I lost my original one in the Atlantic Ocean on vacation 4 or 5 years ago. It was a real sickening feeling. This is an Amazon replica. $25. She said, I'm not buying you another one. I had to get a... That's what that is, and I wear that. That ring. I have another ring here that is my dad's college ring. I just recently started wearing it. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to unpack for you the significance of this. I have my own college ring. I don't even wear it. I wear my dad's. And he passed away this year, many of you know, in July. For the most part, the Warren name in parts of Texas, where we're from, is not spoken of very highly. You know, we've got Pima family members in jail, bank robbers, drug dealers, and my dad, this ring is indicative through a long process of the change agent that my dad purposed to be and the change that he desired to have and the change that I desire to continue his legacy here. And so I have this ring. Now, these two rings, That ring there, it probably isn't worth anything. It's a college ring. I mean, probably the most expensive thing in it's the ruby. I mean, everything else is just all indicative of marks of my dad. It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just a ring. It doesn't have any special significance to anybody else, maybe, but me. These two rings are insignificant, but to me, they're more than just rings. To me, they're special. I mean, I don't. There's nothing powerful about them. I don't put them on and become invisible. That'd be cool, right? I don't put on the ring and say all of a sudden now I'm a super husband. My wife will tell you that's not true. I can't put on my dad's college ring and become the intellectual that he was. Nothing happens. I don't rule the universe with them. I mean, nothing happens like that. This is nothing particular. They're just rings, right? They're just rings. There's nothing special. But to me, there's so much more. You know, my wedding ring is a constant reminder that I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And after 18 years now, I need to be reminded of that because I'm selfish. And I need to be reminded of the love that I need to give her. Every time this ring knocks against a piece of wood or hits something, I'm reminded I need to love her. Every time I put on this college ring of my dad's, I'm reminded of the change agent that my dad was in our family. And I want to be that for my family. To have character, integrity, honesty, and more importantly, spiritual values, to share the greatness of Christ to my children, to impart that to them. So every time these rings click together, every time I'm clapping and they clink, every time they hit a piece of wood, every time I'm carrying something and the annoying little fat part of my hand, right, hits that and I carry it and it pinches my hand, I'm reminded of my dad and the greatness that he exemplified to me. Every time I shake someone's hand and they want to prove how much of a man they are and squeeze my hand and those fingers pinch together and it hurts. It hurts so good because I'm reminded of my dad. To me, these are more than silver and gold. They're two reminders of great things and precious things that God has done for me. So yes, they're rings, but to me, they're so much more. In a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity to engage in a communion. Now, here's the deal. What's in this is just bread. There's nothing. We got it off Amazon. It did. It came in a pack, sealed it up, some unleavened bread. You know, there's nothing special. You don't eat it and turn into super Christian. This is not what happens. The small cup is juice. Nothing flashy, nothing ornate, nothing expensive. Probably got it from Publix. It's probably the generic Publix, actually. It's not even, I don't know, just a little juice. It's just bread. It's just juice. But to those of us who have been saved by grace, it's so much more. It's so much more. It's so much more special. To those that are outside the family, like it's just bread and juice, that's all it is, but it's so much more. To those who have realized that salvation has come not based off of myself, not off of my merit, but off the grace of Jesus Christ. Not of my part, lest I should boast completely of him. As I close, I want you to know that God wants for this to be more than bread and juice to you. He wants it to be. He wants it to be more than a religious exercise. He wants you to belong at this table. He wants you to belong to the family. And just as these simple rings are a reminder to me of the greatness and the precious gifts that are here, these things here are supposed to be a reminder to us here today of the greatness of our God. Everyone today has an open invitation to come to the Lord's table. The only requirement is that you come through faith in Christ Jesus. All you need to become a Christian, you ready? Is nothing. But that's the problem, isn't it? We want to come with our resume, our portfolio of greatness, with my power, with my money, with my morality, with my goodness. God says, oh, you leave all that. Just come humbly. Just come broken. Just come. You see, you might come to this and say, I don't deserve to be here. We don't either. We don't either. But I want you to know, if you're at the table, you belong here. You understand? It's no mistake that you're here. If you belong at the table, you belong here. If you're at the table. For those inside the family, come to the table and remember the gift. For those outside the family, I pray that you'll come to the table and claim the gift.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.